All right. So for this week's show, this one just is this thing that came to mind that I hadn't thought of in forever. Kind of ties into, I guess it was a couple of weeks back, we watched the Bruce Campbell show, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., because it was just this show from the early 90s that I'd always heard about and never saw. And it turned out to be pretty good. But I was thinking back to those days and like, what was I watching on TV if I wasn't watching Briscoe Jr.? And the show that came to mind, this was like, again, I don't even quite remember what year, 92, 93, somewhere around there. So when I was like 12, there's this show called Erie, Indiana, that just, the name always stuck in my mind. And I always remember being happy when it was on. It's like, oh, sweet, Erie, Indiana. Like, I love that show. But now it's many decades later, and I don't remember anything. I couldn't remember even if it was a half hour show or an hour long, because I was 12 at the time. Time had no meaning to me. Turns out it's half an hour. But I thought maybe for this, normally what I do is I do a little research and I give you the rundown about a show and then we watch it. But I thought in this case, because my mind is such a blank, all I remember is the name and I remember that I liked it. I thought maybe we should just go in blind and watch this show. And then after, I'll do my little research and see if I can find any interesting trivia about it. But I thought, hey, why waste this opportunity? You know, how often do you have a beloved show from your childhood that your brain has completely scrubbed from your cortex? So, like, I couldn't tell you the name. I presume Erie, Indiana is where he lives. I couldn't tell you, like, the character's name or what he does. Maybe it's some kind of a detective thing or, like, mystery stuff, like Bigfoot Sasquatch stuff. I just have no idea. So, you know, since it was a show I liked when I was a kid, it's probably terrible. So, sorry to drag you along on this, but that was my idea for this week.
Well, I'm game. I'd have no knowledge of that name at all. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, it did only run one of those like one year type of shows, one and done. So I just got the first episode. It's a svelte 22 minutes or whatever with no commercials. So, yeah, let's just check it out. Erie, Indiana.
Okay, let's see. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
To whom it may concern, if you're reading this document, it means I'm either dead or have disappeared under mysterious circumstances. My name is Marshall Teller. Not long ago, I was living in New Jersey, just across the river from New York City. It was crowded, polluted, and full of crime. I loved it. But my parents wanted a better life for my sister and me. So we moved to a place so wholesome, so squeaky clean you could only find it on TV. Unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. Sure, my new hometown looks normal enough, but look again.
Good show.
Yeah, that held up way, way better than I was afraid it would. I really did think maybe, because, you know, it's always such a dicey proposition to go back to stuff that you liked as a kid, because I was going to say 9 times out of 10, but 99 times out of 100, it's no good. But that show, I think that was really good. I legitimately might watch some more episodes of that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really cool show.
The acting was good. The tongue-in-cheek about Tupperware, basically, the Tupperware, was excellent. The interaction between the actors was really good, like spot on.
Yeah, I guess I don't know when the timeline was. I think Are You Afraid of the Dark was later, because I didn't really watch that show, but it has that kind of tone of like a kid's R.L. Stine kind of spooky horror show. But yeah, legitimately eerie that it's like this Stepford Wives creepy 1950s mom next door who sells Tupperware, the standard thing. But her husband developed this foreverware that literally keeps, you know, like a bologna sandwich from 1974 fresh. And it turns out that she's been sleeping in a giant Tupperware container and making her kids sleep in these Tupperware beds so that they've been in seventh grade for 30 years. And yeah, like just eerie, kind of like a Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of vibe, but scarier, you know, spooky music the whole time. Yeah, I really liked that. I mean, I can see why, especially as a kid, I definitely understand why I liked that show.
Yeah, I could see as an adult really liking that show.
Yeah, it's surprising that I remember so little about it. And it's one of those things, like we were saying this during Briscoe as well, but I feel like I recognize almost everybody. I didn't recognize the main kid, but I feel like everyone else in the family. I've seen all those actors, but I don't know where, you know, they're just TV actors of the time. I think his sister I do recognize. Do you remember the show The Wonder Years?
Yeah, yeah.
There was like this other girl, you know, he always liked that chick Winnie, the brown-haired girl, and there was this blonde girl that he briefly had a thing for, and I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's her. But other than that, yeah, I just feel like I kind of know everybody, but I don't know from where.
And at first, that little redheaded boy, the little curly-haired redheaded boy, I thought I knew him from other things, but then I was looking at him further along, and no, I don't think I do know him from anywhere else.
Yeah, I had the exact same feeling with that kid. I was like, oh, I think I know him. And then, yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah, so it turns out I did do a little quick research. Surprisingly little to say about this show. So Erie, Indiana is an American horror science fiction television series that debuted on NBC in 1991. It was written by these two guys who I don't have their names right here, but they're both have long careers in Hollywood, have written a bunch of famous stuff. But it was directed by Joe Dante, who's a pretty famous name. I know him mostly for Gremlins 2, which was the just over-the-top, fourth-wall-breaking, super ridiculous Gremlins movie. But I was looking at movies that maybe you'd remember that he did. Do you remember the movie Inner Space, where they shrink people down and put them inside a guy's like blood vessels, and they have to fly a ship through his body? You never saw that?
No.
I remember we had a copy around the house, one of those cases where somebody rented it and never brought back the VHS tape. So we definitely had a copy. So I watched it many times. I might watch it again. But yeah, he directed it. So it had people behind it that were already established in Hollywood and were all talented people. So the show ran for that one season, 19 episodes, but then it was often rerun on a bunch of different channels throughout the years. And eventually they played it on Disney, and it did so well on Disney that they made a spinoff series in 1998, but it also only ran one season and it was filmed in Canada. And, you know, no disrespect to our home nation, but it's probably not that good because Canadian shows aren't that good. But the little blurb is the boys are faced with bizarre scenarios, which include discovering a sinister group of intelligent dogs that are planning on taking over the world. They also confront numerous urban legends, such as Bigfoot and a still-living Elvis Presley. And although the show was host to a plethora of jokes, it also featured a serious tone. And Erie, Indiana was well-received by critics, and that's it. That's all they say. Like, there's not one of these big parts of the article that's like a tug of war of like, oh, the network this and the blah, 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 that. There's no explanation at all for why it ended. And it seems like it ran continuously on many channels over and over, and everybody liked it. So maybe it just wasn't intended to keep running. Maybe these guys that were Hollywood guys were just like, let's just make one show, make it real good. And that's that, because there's no drama at all about it getting canceled. It seems like this is just what it was meant to be. So that's a nice change of pace, because it's always such a bummer when there's a good show and it gets canceled unfairly. It seems like these guys, that they did what they wanted to do. And that's that.
It's funny how shows like that, though, don't become a real big super hit, because there's so much schmaltz out there that becomes really top dog, like runs forever and ever and ever, and really are not that good. But this is very good. Now, maybe they couldn't keep up the momentum of this first show, but maybe they could. And it's just like, people seem to go more for schmaltz rather than something that is this tongue-in-cheek humor. That does have a different, especially in today's world, when we're so into how offensive plastic is to the environment. I mean, they wouldn't have known that when they made this show. But when you think of it from that angle about plastic really is evil, and they were doing a show about plastic being evil all those years ago.
I always wonder, too, it's weird to see stuff like this where it's all such obvious archetypes to me now of the, you know, that she's like a 1950s housewife and the Tupperware parties. I wonder what I thought as a kid, though, because I probably wouldn't have tied together all those things. It just would have been a weird story to me, you know, but it works on that level, too.
But exactly. Yeah, and that's why it's so good. It's not just one level. It's got deeper levels, and they introduce little things like, okay, that Elvis who comes out to pick up his newspaper, and he's kind of weird looking. And you got the crow picking all the mail apart. Like, just weird little things from things, horror movies that you had seen in the past. I mean, it kind of was reminiscent of something like an Alfred Hitchcock thing.
Yeah, it was neat with that bird in particular, because not only was it a creepy thing at the start that the crow had an eyeball in its beak, but then it kept pecking at the mail, and they even bring it up at the end. So presumably there's another episode maybe about the birds. Like, it does seem like you were saying about, the schmaltzy shows, and definitely Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps and all that stuff. Like, those shows, they suck. You know, they're only good if you're a kid. They're much worse than this show. But they're similar in tone, but they ran forever. You know, they just ran and ran and ran. So maybe that's, you know, even if this one didn't, I guess that's like the oxymoron of North American TV, is you can't really usually become a big memorable hit unless you run for years and years and years. But that's just like what happens with every North American show. I mean, we've talked about it before about British shows. You know, the British people make a nice show and that's it. Where we run a show into the ground. Like, we just make hundreds of episodes till it's just total trash. So, I don't know. This show, I guess, is caught in that weird middle that they made one good show, but then it is not as remembered because they didn't make 600 episodes. But yeah, I mean, I remembered it deep in my brain, and I'm glad I did. It's really, really good. Really good show.
So you said there were 19 shows of it?
Yes, I believe, 19 episodes, yeah.
I must write that down and download it. I think I'll watch a few more of those. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll grab them for myself too. So yeah, I'll send them your way. Yeah, I'm just looking at the names. The next episode's called The Retainer, The Losers, Heart on a Chain, The Dead Letter, Marshall's Theory of Believability, The Hole in the Head Gang, No Brain, No Pain, Zombies in PJs. I mean, it seems pretty sweet.
Well, it was a pleasant surprise. I was expecting it to be, you know, kind of a good, but a kid's show that really wouldn't have a whole lot of depth to it. But this did. This is very good.
Yeah, it kind of hit just that right level of it is still a kid's show. Like I was saying as we were watching it, that if this were less of a kid's show, they probably would have the dad's, you know, severed head in Tupperware or something. They didn't quite go that far. But right on that level of, like, well, I was saying too, when they introduced the kid, that he's the classic early 90s cool kid. Like, that was the cool kid haircut in 1991. You're like, oh, that's a cool kid. That kid's cool. But yeah, right on that level of, like, not super kiddy, but just becoming a teenager. So just like a little bit cool, a little bit dark, a little bit scary. But yeah, they did a really good job.
But then his younger friend, you know, and he makes the comment, you know, his parents just kind of just couldn't be bothered having him around. Which is so typical of people who had children and wanted, loved their children, would cater. But for anything important, they really didn't want them around. Like, go out, get out, spend your time on the street, go find a new friend somewhere, because we just really are so into our lives, we don't have time for you. I like the fact, too, that the parents' house, his parents' house, was not just a little bit messy, like you'd see in most of those TV shows. It's just a little bit messy. That kitchen at the end, after they had kind of come back to their normal life, it was a fucking mess. And that's what most people's houses are like.
Yeah, and I assume just because it ties into the theme of the Tupperware, you know, they made it extra. I doubt it'll be that way week to week, but it would be funny if they kept that gag up, that, like, everything is just in there, is rotting in their fridge and
turmoil.
Stuff. The other thing that I think is cool about the tone of that show is that it really does fit perfectly with being that age. And, you know, the classic example is, like, everybody's got that story from when they were a kid of old man whoever's house, you know, oh, you can't go up to that house on the hill. That's where scary old man whoever lives, you know. Or if there's an abandoned house, you make up some story of, like, I heard there's a guy who sleeps in there. Like, you know, there's just always something going on. And, oh, yeah, did you hear about X, Y, or Z? Except in real life, none of it's ever true. So it's kind of cool that in this show, it's like that same thing where you just, when you're that age, you just make up adventures and make up little missions to go on. Except in his case, his city really is full of all this crazy shit. So yeah, that's a really good idea.
Was there a place like that around when you were growing up?
I can't think of anything specifically, but it's just, I'm sure there was. There's always something, you know, there's always some.
Oh, there was when I was growing up. And we lived over on Beckwith Street, and I was only 6 when we left there. But there was a house at the corner, an older style house, and the Bairds lived there, Mr. Baird. And we had to walk past it to go to a kiddie park that was just around the corner from our house. And a story was that he had a BB gun, and that some kid walked onto his lawn. Some kid. Now, remember, I'm only 6, but I've got older brothers who would be 15, 16, whatever. They were telling the story. And if any kid ever stepped on Mr. Baird's lawn, he'd be out there with the BB gun and he'd shoot your ass off. And it was terrifying because you had to go up the street to go to, but you had to walk on the street because you could not walk on his grass to the playground. I'm sure that was a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, the thing that's coming to mind more for me is Dune Street. You know, Dune Street was the street in our neighborhood that's like, you know, just low income housing or whatever. But it was always like, and it was right by my fancy pants French school. So it's like, you know, we were natural enemies of the Dune Street kids. And it was always like, don't go to Dune Street, you'll get beat up. Except it was just true. That wasn't an urban legend at all. It was totally true until I made friends with Ray, who lived on Dune Street, and then I was okay with Dune Street, and I could go to Dune Street. But yeah, you know, you literally couldn't. You'd just be like, hey, Frenchie, you're dead. So that was less of an urban myth and more of a cruel reality. But
I'm surprised when I think about when my years in Marysville, and that would be from the time I was about 7 and a half until I was 15 and a half. I don't remember there being any one of those houses in there, but that would be the time when you're a kid that you'd be sucked right into that kind of story. But I don't remember there being a house like that. It was when I was younger, it was the BB gun. I didn't even know what a BB gun was, but it was like an AK-47 probably in my mind. Never would go close to Mr. Baird's house because he'd come and get you with the BB gun. And I can't imagine him shooting little 5 and 6 year old kids who were going to the playground, but that was the story. Steer clear of that place.
Yeah, I kind of remember that all these memories are very vague, but I think in our case with the neighborhood I grew up in, you know, where your house still is, it was like, you know, don't go to the lumber yard at night. There's like dogs that'll eat you and stuff. I don't know if they're, but they might have had guard dogs. I don't know. But yeah, you know, there's always just to make up some random thing, just whatever. But yeah, this does get across that tone really well of, you know, it all seems important to the kids. It seems like, oh, this is all the biggest thing in the world. And yeah, it's almost like a vindicating feeling or something that it's like, hey, he's right, though. He's actually right about this town. All right. Well, I guess that wraps that one up pretty good.
Thank you for introducing me to that, because I had no knowledge that show existed, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it was hanging on to my brain by its last finger, you know, like I hadn't thought of it in forever. I almost forgot. And it was just watching Briscoe, just like that time period. I think Briscoe was a bit after that. But yeah, it's just thinking back to like, what was I watching on TV? And like, you know, we already watched Street Hawk. That was earlier. That was 80s, I think. But that didn't hold up so good. And I know there's like SeaQuest, which I tried to rewatch, but it's just Star Trek The Next Generation underwater. There's a show called Earth 2 I used to like, but I doubt that that's any good. You know, so like none of these things are ever worth going back to. So that makes this an extra treat that it's like, oh, it actually worked out for once. I mean, that's why it reminds me a bit too of Pee-wee's Playhouse, because that's another show that I still like from back then. But that is definitely the exception to the rule. So yeah, very nice.